You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
You find yourself in the midst of a marriage crisis, and you're trying to figure out exactly what to do, how to address the issues, how to get to a place of resolution. And sometimes we make mistakes when we're at that place. Sometimes we make very innocent mistakes. In fact, I would say that what I see is people making very innocent mistakes where they weren't intending on making things worse, but they didn't realize what they were doing. And so today I want to talk about the number three biggest mistake I see over and over. And you may be wondering, why am I saying number three? What about number one, number two? Well, I'll come to those at another point. But today it's the number three biggest mistake I watch people make. And that's a simple thing. Let me tell you a story about James. James was watching his wife slowly move away from him over the years, and he didn't know what to do. He did a lot of things wrong along the way. That's not his big mistake. But as he was watching her, he began to invest other places. So he found himself busy at work, and then he decided that he would start doing triathlons. And then he took up golf, and slowly over time, he worked himself out of the family as his wife worked herself out of the relationship. And that was at the point when life was kind of on hold, at least in terms of the marriage. They both, at least at that point, kept rationalizing that things would get better down the road. At some point, things would turn around. So James just kept on trudging along, and every now and then they would talk about how things weren't where they needed to be. They would try date night. Every now and then they would go away for a weekend together. And while they were away, the interesting thing James told me was that they would have a good time, but it wasn't together. They would sit by the pool, both immersed in a book or immersed in some activity. Each of them would go somewhere. He would go play golf. She would go play tennis. They would go to different outings, and she would take a cooking class on the grounds while he would go on a hike. And so they had these weekends away, but they weren't connecting. Over time, James's wife found other places to invest, like the kids, and she started a career, and she did a lot of things in the community, until one day, she had had enough. And at that point, James began to make some mistakes that were about how he was trying to save his relationship. Not mistakes in the relationship, but mistakes in how he was trying to save the relationship. And so he emailed me and he said, I've got to get my wife to come back into the relationship. I've got to find the way to get her to re-engage in this relationship. What can I do to get her to do that? Now, let me tell you about Linda. Linda also, just out of innocence, didn't attend to the relationship with her husband. He was busy. She didn't want to bring things up. When the kids came along, she jumped into parenting. She also had a career on the side. She had lots of hobbies, lots of friends, and over time, they became more and more disconnected. Now, they still had sex regularly, and so Linda kept rationalizing that things weren't as bad as they thought they were, but she knew that something wasn't wrong. And finally, one day, Linda's husband came and said, I'm done. I found somebody else at work, and I'm interested in moving on and seeing if that relationship is going to work. Linda was shocked, contacted me and said, I've got to figure out what to do now. I know that I've done some things wrong, and I know that I need to change some things. How do I get my husband to believe that I'm going to change? How do I get him to start moving back towards the relationship? How can I get him back into this? Now, you'll notice that both James and Linda use the exact same words. In fact, they use the word that I think is the key to understanding this third biggest mistake people make. That's get. People think it's an innocent word. You know, they don't think much about that word. And we say it all the time. How can I get what I want? How can I get this person to think that? How can I get my kids to do what they're supposed to do? How can I get my kids to clean the room? How can I get my spouse to love me? How can I get whatever it is? And what we fail to realize is that whenever we're saying get, we are in some ways trying to control, some ways trying to force, some ways trying to pull the other person back into the relationship. And that's the mistake. Now, it's a subtle mistake, but it's a very important mistake for you to understand, because when you're trying to save your relationship. I've talked about changing yourself, and I've talked about a plan, and I've talked about this new path. And then I hear the questions, how do I get my spouse to read your material? How do I get my spouse to believe me? How do I get my spouse to trust me again? How do I get my spouse to connect with me? How do I get my spouse to go down that trail again? How do I get my spouse to join me in being a we? And you'll notice in every case, it's a very well-meant get. And it's a very dangerous word, especially when you're at a place of disconnection. But let me say clearly, it's true across the board. Think about this, what happens when we want to get our kids to behave. In some way, we're going to motivate them. We're either going to threaten them with punishment or promise them a reward. That's how we get them to do something. Now think about that in terms of a spouse. Are you threatening or are you rewarding? And either one of those are dangerous because it's about trying to change their mind from the outside. It's not about inviting them into the joining with you, inviting them in with you into the program, but it's trying to force them in. It's trying to get them to do something, cause them to do something, manipulate them, force them. Now, you may think I'm overplaying that piece, but I can tell you from watching over and over that that's the big crisis. So what do you do? Well, I think of it as the difference between enlisting somebody or enrolling somebody. Now, let's talk for a minute about the difference between those two words. When you're trying to enlist somebody, you're pulling them in, right? You're trying to force them into the program. You're trying to enlist them. But what has to happen is the person has to enroll. And that is the difference, enlisting and enrolling. And I want you to kind of think about how that follows through. Let's talk about that in terms of the military. You know, we used to do the draft, and that's the enlistment process that you enlist them, right? The government would pull that person in and force them to serve. Well, not everybody's so happy about doing that. And when you're trying to do something relationally that way, it's very hard. You don't have that much leverage. As opposed to those who saw something about the military and decided to enroll, there is a whole different slant in that. And part of the difference is whether there's pressure or there's an invitation, whether it comes from within or without. And whenever you're trying to get somebody to do something, it obviously comes from without because you're the one trying to get them. You're the outside position trying to pull on them, to pull them into the process rather than an invitation where they naturally follow and decide to enroll. That's a whole different ball of wax. You can see how this runs through so many areas of the recovery process in a marriage. For instance, people tell me how they want to have their spouse go to therapy. Now, I've already stated very openly and very publicly that my background is as a therapist. That was my training. And I left the therapy world, or at least the therapy model, behind for one very clear reason. I couldn't make it be effective. Not just me. Therapists in general have a hard time with marital therapy. I've talked about this many times in many places. And one of the reasons that it doesn't work well is because there's somebody usually trying to get somebody to change, somebody trying to get somebody to go to therapy. So notice how this happens. You've got a therapist who is there wanting to work on things, and you have a spouse who's coming in wanting to work on things, and you have a spouse who's being pulled in who doesn't so much want to work on things. And in that point, you're at that place where somebody's trying to get somebody to do something. So tell me what it feels like to you. Well, think about it anyway. You don't have to tell me, but think about what happens when somebody tries to get you to do something. Let's say that a coworker walks in and says, I need you to do this, and they drop it on your desk. You may do it because you have to, but are you happy about doing it? That's different than if a boss comes in and says, you need to do this. And the reason is because you understand that a boss is at a point of authority and a point of being able to tell you what you have to do. But if a colleague does it, then you feel like they're trying to do power over you. It's the same as what happens with kids. What do kids do when they feel like their parents are trying to make them do something? They may do it because they fear the punishment, but they're not happy about it. anytime we're trying to get somebody to do something, we end up trying to prove that we have the power to make them do something. And that's not what we mean to do, but that's what it is. That's how it feels. So when we try to get somebody to do something, we're trying to force them. We're trying to find some way. And so when I point this out to people, they often say, that's not what I want to do. I just want us to have a better marriage. But the way they're going about it is by trying to get an action from a spouse who's resistant. And whenever we're at that place, whether it's well-meaning or not, it's not going to be well-received. I've heard people who wrote me about how they were trying to get their spouse to get in better shape, to get their spouse to quit smoking or drinking, or get their spouse to watch stopping porn, or get their spouse to do a number of things that are on the surface good things. There's nothing bad about caring for somebody's health and hoping they'll take care of themselves. There is something dangerous about trying to get them to do something that they're not signing up for. And that's that enlistment versus enrollment. If you're trying to enlist somebody, if you're trying to get them to move forward without them having a choice, they're going to resist. And here's why it's one of my top mistakes. Number three, it's because when they start dragging their feet, it only makes things worse. So when people are trying to get somebody to do something, instead of moving it towards resolution, it moves it further away from resolution. It moves it in the opposite direction that they want it to, almost always. Now, sometimes people can use some leverage, right? You can't leave because of the kids, because of finances, because of the retirement. There are lots of reasons that people can give that force somebody to stay. But forcing somebody to be there is not the same as saving the relationship. It may be putting off the divorce, or it may be keeping the divorce itself from happening, but it's not saving the relationship. It's not bringing life back to the relationship. It's not transforming anything. It's using power and force to hold someone there. Generally, we are well-intentioned people. There are some exceptions to that, but rarely are they the ones who are trying to save a relationship. But we're well-intentioned people who want the best for other people, for ourselves. And that's why this is such an interesting mistake, because it's about force. It's about coercion. It's about manipulation. And even as people try to peel it away and convince me that that's not what they're trying to do, they're still trying to get a spouse to change something. That's when you realize that it's no longer a lateral conversation. It's no longer between partners. It's no longer between equals. It's about somebody trying to establish that they have some power to change the behavior of the other person. That's the danger of this. Don't fall into this number three big mistake whenever you hear yourself saying, how can I get my spouse to, and you can fill in the blank. And you might even think about this on how it fits in with your kids and everybody around you. What happens when you're trying to get them to do something? You are ending up in a controlling behavior. It's a little more subtle than a lot of other places of control, but it's still controlling behavior. You're trying to take over some behavior that they have to decide upon. It's great when a spouse enrolls in the process of saving your marriage, but you can't enlist them. Don't get caught by telling over and over how you've got to get something from somebody else. Don't be asking the question, how do I get my spouse? Stop for a minute and ask yourself, am I doing this cleanly, or do I still need to step back and begin working on myself, working on my ways of connection, working on me walking down the path of us being a we? You always want to work from your place and create an invitation where they can come into that space. Don't fall into the get trap. Don't fall into that coercion trap. Don't fall into the control trap. Remember that this is about invitation, and it's about your change, your transformation, your connections, and your walking that path. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.